Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. Today's Blue Paper, Fundraising, Part 1, is presented by 4imprint Incorporated Customer Service Representative, Guinevere Thompson.
4imprint Basics, a love story. Prospecting, courting, and maintaining individual donors. The art of development is similar to a romantic affair. In order to appeal to donors and build lasting relationships, your organization must first find someone with similar interests, make a connection, and then let the wooing begin. Unfortunately, the challenge fraught with finding one's soulmate is often similar to finding those loyal and lasting donors. When the economy began its decline in 2008, nonprofits started desperately seeking donations as their funding began to dry up. At the same time, Americans tightened their purse strings and individual gifts decreased between 20 to 30% for many nonprofits. This translated to fewer donor dollars and more hands reaching into the same pot. Those nonprofits that suffered the least, or even increased the amount of individual gifts secured, likely owe their success to positive and well-maintained relationships with donors. Their donor lists are up to date, their asks are well positioned, and their communications are with purpose. They recognize that in identifying prospects, evaluating giving potential and habits, and cultivating potential leads plays a critical role in ensuring that their organization will be able to maintain a pool of resources. So, are you one of those nonprofits? Does your organization have the donor base needed to withstand the test of time? If the answer is no, or you are unsure, listen on to gain basic insight on successful prospecting and cultivation tips to build donor relationships that last. Wanted: loyal donor seeking long-term commitment. At the heart of donor prospecting and cultivating lies research, specifically research of the wants, needs, interests, habits, and motivations lying within your donor bases. Nonprofits must identify individuals inclined to support the mission and projects of the organization, says Molly Schar, principal of fundraising consultancy Right for Donors. These are people who may have been affected by the work of your organization or know someone who has. They may live within the community served, or they may be friends with a board member or a volunteer. Successful research in prospecting can reveal new connections and relationships, assist in determining the capacity of an individual to give, assist in determining which prospects should be the primary focus of a fundraising campaign, build confidence in the staff, making the ask by arming them with strategic information, and provide insight into the background and interests of an individual, which will later be useful in creating conversations and tailoring asks and other elements of a fundraising campaign. Before you begin prospecting, your organization needs to do two things. First, address how to manage the information obtained. Much of the information found through basic research may be public, while the use of powerful prospecting software can often be very private. Regardless of your method, your organization should handle this information with respect and confidentiality, and donor files should always be stored securely. Jason Dick, author of the fundraising blog asmallchange.net, offers a good rule of thumb. Only keep information that you would be willing to hand over if that donor asked for his or her own file. Next, you will want to outline a research plan. A prospecting research plan contains many of the same elements of a traditional business research plan. A market analysis: who are your current donors and constituents? A service potential analysis: who could your donors be? A fundraising strategy: what is your timeline to accommodate the goals and objectives of prospecting and how you achieve them under budgetary restrictions? And a SWOT analysis: what are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to your strategy, organization, and prospecting efforts? This plan will help in focusing your research to identify hot prospects, what level of cultivation they require, and the appropriate amount of communication that is needed. Then, it's time to begin your research. Know what a likely prospect looks like. Essentially, if you can find a prospect that has both the ability to give and a passion for your organization's mission, you have a recipe for successful procurement. In general, a likely prospect has three qualities. Number one, the capacity to give. They have money that they are willing to give. Number two, the willingness to give. They want to give. Number three, the interest to give. They have a vested interest in an organization's mission, outcomes, services, or people. Once you're aware of what a likely prospect looks like, arm yourself with demographics. By knowing the average giving habits of a prospect based on demographics before you begin prospecting, you'll be able to determine the likelihood of securing a gift, especially in judgment call situations when you are unable to find solid information on his or her giving history. Knowing demographic information merely helps your assessment, though. It should never be the assessment itself. Consider these giving clues and habits based on generational demographics. Number one, the civic or great generation, those born before 1924. A, they are known for extraordinary generosity and volunteer activity. B, they are a rapidly declining philanthropic segment. And C, their planned giving decisions are likely already in place. Number two, the adaptive or silent generation, born between 1925 and 1942. A, they have transferred tremendous personal wealth to charitable causes, children, and grandchildren. B, they are most receptive to direct mail contact and appeals. And C, many respond well to authority and paternalism in outright asks. Number three, the idealist or baby boomer generation, born between 1942 and 1960. A, they are more likely than other generations to engage in hands-on charitable efforts. B, they rarely seek to give online. And C, they respond best to personal requests made by someone with whom they've had an established relationship. Number four, the reactive or Gen X generation, born between 1961 and 1981. A, this generation questions the ideological and civic organizations of previous generations. B, they are skeptical of authority, giving to organizations that they trust or that their friends have recommended to them only. And C, they expect a return on investment for their gift, meaning they expect to be told or shown exactly how their money will be used. 5, millennial, born 1982 to the present. A, they are motivated by a desire to make the world a better place. It's often predicted that they are likely to mimic the giving patterns of the civic generation once they have positioned themselves financially. B, they are known for choosing to volunteer time and skill prior to giving money. And C, they use the internet frequently to give and to research organizations prior to giving. A few other demographic giving patterns worth exploring. Giving rates are highest in the western portion of the United States, where residents have been found to give up to 8% of their discretionary income. Married couples and single women, especially single mothers, are far more generous than single men in giving habits. African Americans give more money, usually small individual donations made repeatedly over time, than Caucasian donors. Self-employed workers are more likely to give than others. Those with college degrees give higher percentages to charity, regardless of income level. Mormon donors, due to the religion's belief in tithing, are found to give upward of 19 to 27% of their discretionary income to charities. City dwellers give less to charity on a yearly basis than their country counterparts, yet they give more to secular charities than rural residents. Now that we've outlined the basics of understanding prospects who are motivated to give, continue your research to find out specifics. Start with what you have. Going through your donor files with a fine-tooth comb will help assess your current relationships and give a better feel for areas you need to focus on. For example, relationship building or identifying opportunities for growth. Start by examining the giving history of each donor, looking for the frequency of gifts, the average amount of a gift, and the date of his or her last gift. Then, analyze the engagement history your organization has with each donor. Is there ongoing communication? Have thank you notes been sent on each giving occasion? What was the last event you invited them to? If you find that contact with donors is limited to asks and appeals, you have a major red flag on your hands. Your organization is neglecting relationship building. Once these donor files have been examined, move on to examine other elements of your organization, your staff, board members, volunteers, and those who use your services and resources or attend events. Then seal the deal by going one step further to research the donors and board members of similar organizations to yours. Go to their websites or call and request an annual report. This can give you some great examples to learn from in reshaping your donor relationship model. Be an online super sleuth. Use internet sites like Google, Yahoo, Bing, LinkedIn, or Technorati to fill in any research gaps you may have in your current files, or build new files by conducting simple name searches. Keep in mind that you are seeking information that will not only allow you to make a base assessment of giving potential to help determine what amount to ask for and expect, but also information that will provide topics of conversation and interest as you move forward in developing a meaningful relationship with a donor. Much like a marketer conducts market research in order to create advertisements that appeal to their intended audience's interests, development teams mine for information to appeal to donors. As you search, seek out the most authoritative sources and be sure to check the dates of information and confirm your results. Prospecting research is no different than other forms of research. It needs to be credible. Online research can help you find out where they work, what they do, what their title is, what past titles they have held, previous employers, past board positions, what organizations they are involved in or fund, what other nonprofit or charitable organizations they give to as donors or volunteers, who they know. A friend or family member may be just as able or better able to make a gift than the prospect. Use social networking sites like Facebook and LinkedIn to see who your board and staff members know or have connections with. If they have connections with any foundations, even if you cannot secure an individual gift, cultivating a relationship with them may lead to other funding sources. If they have appeared in the press for any reason and what that reason may be, if they are politically primed to align with the efforts and mission of your organization, use sites like www.opensecrets.org to determine if they have made political contributions in the past. What their interests are, do they have a blog? Have they written a book? Did they keynote at any conference or speak at any public events? Harness the power of prospecting tools. If your organization has the budget for it, consider investing in donor development software like Sage or Blackbaud, or a subscription to an online program like Foundation Search or Pro Platinum. These tools have the ability to streamline prospecting efforts, and many contain access to databases with donor information, allow you to input and maintain your own databases, and track your contacts with donors, like phone calls, direct mail pieces, and thank you notes. Prospecting tools are often powerful enough to easily run algorithms that give nonprofits the power to make correlations between donors and prospects and giving potential. For example, the Minneapolis Institute of Arts has used prospecting databases to identify potential donors in its files by examining information on a donor and correlating it to the organization's own donor history. Anne Ulring, Major Gifts Officer, says that the system has identified prospects who have given works of art but no cash gifts, and others who have given no more than $35 over more than two decades. Ulrich explains that these donors had the capacity to give but just had never been asked or recorded properly because the correlation had previously not been made. Another prospecting option is list acquisition, the purchase of names, addresses, and sometimes other information from third-party organizations to grow your pool of potential donors. This method is often extremely hit or miss, and in order to be remotely successful, the list needs to be highly targeted so that it's obvious to recipients why they are receiving a contact from you. Embrace the donor life cycle. It's important to understand that all donors, current and prospective, are within a cycle of giving, whether they or you realize it or not. Known as life cycle segmentation, this method helps in determining when prospects are more likely to give and the extent of that gift. The donor life cycle model often looks like this. Number one, new donors. They have no prior giving history, and their first gifts tend to be polarizing, meaning they give smaller amounts hesitantly or larger amounts enthusiastically. These donors are perfect candidates to receive regular contact through phone calls, direct mail pieces, in-person meetings, and events. Number two, transition donors. They have given once or twice before and are primed to be asked again within the next fiscal year. Number three, core donors. These donors have consistently given to your organization in the past 2 to 3 fiscal years. These donors are best managed with regular personalized contact. Number four, lapsed donors. They have not given in the last fiscal year. The relationship of recently lapsed donors, those who have not given within the past 13 to 24 months, are much easier to recover than those of deeply lapsed donors, those who have not given in over 25 months. Lapsed donors can serve to indicate that either communication between your organization and the donor has been ineffective or inconsistent, or they can indicate a change in the way a donor has viewed your organization. It can also be helpful to take into consideration the personal life cycles of donors. Events like marriages, the death of parents, and the birth of children all pose the opportunity for planned gifts. Conversely, events like children in college, divorce, and new mortgages are indicators that prospects may currently be unable to give. Rank your findings and build a list. Use the information and research you have uncovered to rank the likelihood that a prospect will give along with an estimated range of a possible gift. Also consider rating based on relationship. Begin your efforts when you are most likely to see a return. After ranking, compile a list using donor databases, prospecting software, or a plain old Excel spreadsheet with mailing and contact information so you're primed and ready to make contact. Their eyes meet and the wooing begins. Once armed with sufficient background information and a prioritized rating of each prospect, it's time to make contact. Nonprofits can court their prospects and donors by educating, inviting, and engaging. Educate. Introduce yourself, or in the case of lapsed donors, reintroduce, to prospects and donors. Inform them of your organization, its mission, impact, and need for individual gifts. Tell them of the work that your organization does and the differences it is making for the cause and in the community. The ideal communication channels to accomplish this include website and social media, making sure that content on your website is up to date and chock full of examples of how your nonprofit is making a difference. Make your organization available to a variety of audiences by exploring a presence on social media sites like blogs, Facebook, YouTube, Flickr, or Twitter, and demonstrate purpose and interact with users through cause-related content. Direct mail pieces, such as form letters of introduction paired with brochures, newsletters, or postcards. Phone calls. Strike up a conversation by introducing yourself and your organization and why you feel they may be interested in your mission. Reference past contact the individual may have had with the organization or an employee or board member. Then invite them to a relationship-building event like the ones to follow. Invite. Extend an invitation to prospects and donors to tour your offices, join you and the director for coffee, or host regular luncheons as a way for donors to meet each other, board members, and high-level staff. The ideal communication channels to accomplish this include website and social media. Post donor event information on your website along with any necessary RSVP information. Consider sending e-vites or twitvites. Both are customizable electronic invites, one for email and the other for Twitter. Or creating an event on Facebook and inviting users. Personal mail or e-newsletter. A personalized note or invitation is appropriate. Phone call. Could be a follow-up to the initial contact made while educating or as part of the educating phone call. Personal invitation. Have the invitation come directly from the staff member, board member, or volunteer that recommended them during prospecting. Engage. Maintain regular contact with prospects and donors and engage them through meaningful involvement. Give them the opportunity to see the work of your organization in action. The ideal communication channels to accomplish this include website and social media. Again, make sure your organization's website contains up-to-date content that illustrates the differences you are making. Use social media in the same way, providing updates of your organization's effort and successes while interacting with users. Emails or e-newsletters. Send out organization updates via an email or distribute e-newsletters. Remember, however, that e-newsletters should only be sent to those who have subscribed or requested them and should include a no-fuss link to unsubscribe if recipients change their minds. Direct mail pieces. These should be more content-rich than the pieces originally sent and don't always require a personal note. Newsletters and program catalogs are ideal. Phone calls. Calls to follow up on the last contact that was made with a donor and continue to explore how they feel about the organization and what they think could be improved. Also, continue to extend invitations to events. A note on events. Events and meetings are wonderful ways to connect with donors on a more personal level and help to put a face to the organization. Donors may also see in-person cultivation as a benefit to giving. The organization is investing in them, taking an interest in them, rewarding them with conversation, refreshments, or entertainment, and giving value to their time, knowledge, and insight. It's also a fantastic way to allow donors and prospects to see the results of giving and an even better way to continually explore opinions and suggestions of prospects and donors. Jason Dick recommends a few icebreakers to get the conversation going. How did you find out about our organization? What first connected to you about us? Why have you stayed connected? Are there things you'd like to see us doing that we're not? What are your favorite programs? Case in point, the Canadian Women's Foundation. The most successful donor events give donors and prospects further reason to stay invested in your organization's mission. They involve them beyond the giving process, allowing them to more actively participate. The Canadian Women's Foundation, CWF, a nonprofit organization devoted in part to investing in programs that end violence against women, experienced this success firsthand. In 2003, CWF implemented a donor education strategy over a 3-year period to create awareness of its cause and engage donors with the goals of both advancing its mission and securing individual gifts. This strategy revolved around a series of half-day education sessions for donors, featuring speakers and content that revealed facts, case studies, and accounts of women and girls who had been affected by violence. These sessions also offered solutions, highlighting how individual donors could help, through a monetary gift or otherwise. Since implementing these events, CWF has seen a $200,000 increase in individual gifts per year. Communication efforts like the ones previously outlined should be ongoing. Donor communication is not a one-and-done effort. Reach out to donors. Follow-ups with further communication and information create and maintain interest in your organization and build a foundation worthy of ongoing gifts. Do this, and when they decide to give in the future, your organization will immediately come to mind. The proposal. Once you've made contact and laid the foundation for donors to give, it's time to develop the strategies to make the ask and continue stewardship of prospects and donors. Whether it's an annual appeal, planned gift, or major gift, ask donors and prospects to do something by giving money. Explain in clear terms what difference their donation will make and who will benefit from the support of your nonprofit's mission. Donor prospecting and cultivation is a never-ending cycle of bringing people in to support your organization's mission, keeping them involved, and deepening their relationship with your organization. Put care and effort into building relationships. After all, it's a love story with potential for huge reward.
Thanks for listening. For more information or to download more Blue Papers, please visit www.4imprint.com/bluepapers.